If you got your Bibles, I guess a good place to start tonight. I don't know where I want to start so much. But I guess Ephesians 4 is going to be as good a place as any. So you can go ahead and turn there. It'll take me a little while to get to that point. But what I want to minister tonight to you is I want to begin this thought. I'm going to finish this message tonight. I don't mean this is going to be a going on message. But in reality it will be because so much that I say will be foundation tonight. And I want to expand your thinking in that there is more in God than we've yet experienced. And we call ourselves Pentecostals and full gospel. And in reality, all we really have is two-thirds gospel. There's another third yet to experience in all of us. But it's in the Scriptures, and I want to try to expand it tonight and maybe get us looking at some things and preparing our hearts for some things. So I want to try to minister through the overhead. And the way I want to introduce it is through the tabernacle of Moses. I don't know if you've ever been taught on about the tabernacle of Moses. A day will come when I will minister in depth on it. But just basically speaking, it was a tent in the wilderness. I should have maybe put the dimensions on here, but it was a tent in the wilderness. When Israel was going through the wilderness wanderings, this was what God told Moses to construct, a tabernacle. And he told him to construct it after the pattern that he gave Moses in the mountain. And Moses did it. And it's in three parts. I wished I could just... Okay. We'll get a bigger screen one day. There. It was a triangular structure. It was made of tent. It was a tent, but it was made of badger skins. And this would have been the exterior wall running around there. And then there was a door, an entranceway, right up here. And as you come into this tabernacle, there was a brazen altar. Then there was a laver bowl. And then you go on into the other areas, and there was a holy place. And then there was the Holy of Holies. And I want to minister tonight from those three dimensions. The outer court, where the brazen altar and the laver was found. And then the holy place, where the table of shewbread, the altar of incense, and the candlestick was. And also then, what I'm going to get to is this area, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth was. And I want to use this as a base, as a foundation, because it's such a good one. I've told you before that so many things in the Scriptures are in threes. This structure has three areas. It has the outer court, holy place, Holy of Holies. Everybody say that with me. Outer court, holy place, Holy of Holies. Now, if you look at today's Christian world, the body of Christ corporately earthwide, you're going to see this. You're going to see a number of people who we could easily fit into this outer court area. They have come in. They've gotten into the structure, the kingdom. They're inside the kingdom of God. But what they have experienced is the brazen altar, which is a type of the cross. That's where the blood was shed. You see. And the Scriptures talks about Jesus, our sacrifice. It talks about Him being the Passover lamb. It talks about Him being the burnt offering taken out of the city of Jerusalem. They have experienced that. They've experienced this realm of receiving Jesus and having the blood applied to their life. They've even gone into the laver, which was filled with water, which is a type of water baptism, and entering into the understanding of the Word. So you see, there is the outer court people who have gone as far as here, have gone as far as water baptism. Nothing wrong with that. But there's more. How many remember in your life when you were here, you had experienced the blood of your life and you had experienced the Passover lamb being sacrificed for you, and you had been water baptized, and you had begun to understand some of the goodness of the Word? How many remember those times? But yet now, since you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you also know there was more. Well, there's another area in here. There's another area. This area is the holy place. And it had a door right here. And the door into the holy place is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And like I shared and taught you this morning, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the fullness of the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is your initiation into your wilderness experience. Where did the Spirit lead Jesus?
Wilderness.
To be tested. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost right here leads you into this area. And in this area, you'll find three pieces of furniture. There is a candlestick. It's a different kind of light. Out here, there's natural light. Nothing but the sunlight. In here, there was oil. Oil of the lamp. Holy Ghost light. There was another kind of light here. And when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you became a light. I don't ask for a light anymore. I am a light. You see that commercial on television? I want you to think about it. Think about me whenever you see it. The guy asks for a light. They shoot arrows at him, hand him these flares and all this stuff. I don't ask for a light. I am a light. You're a light. When you get into this area, something changes in your life and you become a light. There's something different about these people. And I go to the shewbread table and I partake of that Word. I eat of it. But I become a shewbread table. And I want you to partake of me. I want you to eat of the Word that I've got. I want to feed you. And then there's the altar of incense. And it's right back here against the veil. There was a veil right here. And the altar of incense was right back against that veil. It was the last piece of furniture before you got to the veil. And that altar of incense was where they burnt incense unto the Lord. And Psalms tells us that incense is our prayer and our praise. I become incense when I get into this realm. I become incense unto Him whom I love. I pray to Him who I love. I become those things. There's something different about these people. But there's more. Now, which court, which area is the largest? Outer court. Outer court is the largest. Who are the most of? People who have experienced Pentecost or people who have not? So you see it fits. Outer court people. They have experienced the blood. They've experienced water baptism. But they haven't got into here yet. They haven't become praise and prayer and worship. They haven't become the bread. They haven't become the light yet that they can become. But there's more. This area out here, every person of Israel was supposed to come out here and offer their sacrifices, and that was to be washed in the laver bowl. Every person of Israel. And Jesus said, you must be born again. That word is imperative. It is necessary to get into this structure. You've got to get into here. You must be born again. Must. No alternatives to that. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born again experience out here. Pentecost experience right here. Back here. Holy of Holies. Shekinah glory. God Himself. That's where He dwells. And the Bible tells us to put on Christ. You see. Christ in you. Christ on you. Now I want to build this a little bit. I think I've got you in line with me. You see where I'm kind of coming from. But there is an outer court Christianity. And I'm going to use the term Baptist not to be detrimental, but to pinpoint a realm. Is that okay? Not putting down anybody, just pinpointing a realm. Then I'm going to use Pentecost. Not to pinpoint a denomination, but a realm. There's an outer court realm. There is the Baptist realm. There are those who have not yet experienced the Holy Ghost baptism. Then there are the Pentecost realm. Those who have experienced the baptism. But what God's wanting to do in this day, in this time, is to take us on behind the veil to a Holy of Holies realm. Where out here there's natural light, and in there there's Holy Ghost light. But back there, there is real light. For the Bible says that God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. And He wants us to move on. And when you got saved, you come in the door. And you accepted Jesus Christ as your sacrifice. And you received water baptism and understood the Word a little bit. And you began to move on through. Do you see what I'm saying? You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your understanding, you're beginning to get an understanding about being a light for the Lord and the Holy Ghost within you and the oil and so forth. You're understanding the Word of Revelation more and more in a greater place. And you're getting back here to praise and worship. But God wants us to get back there and take a peek behind that veil. Because that's where He is. Have I got this crossed? Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. Three dimensions of Christianity if you can hear it. And I'm going to present this to you in all sorts of ways. I want to show you that the Bible is conclusive concerning this. Three dimensions of growth. And this is such a wonderful study aid. And I'll refer to it so many times. And that's why it grieves me to know what the Lord's going to be saying here. And know that so many are not going to be here to hear it. And it's going to hold me back. It's going to take me longer to get to where I want to get with you. And at the same time, it's going to hold you back. You see, because we got to wait on them. So I want you to see this, what I'm trying to say. Help me with these people. Help me with them. I don't think we have time to wait. God's wanting to perfect us now. Amen. Now is the day of salvation. Okay. I get this right. Okay. Three levels of Christian maturity. That's good enough. Now, if you've got your pencils and paper, anything to take notes on, I really advise you to do it. Because this will help you. Outer court Christianity, holy place Christianity, holy of holies. What is the holy of holies? Perfection. Is that far-fetched? Sounds like it. With the mentalities that we now this day have, it sounds like it is. Okay, we need to look at it then just to make sure that I'm being scriptural. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, today more people talk to me on lines of this than anything else. They're tired of humdrum, mundane Christianity. They want to go on in the Lord. They want revelation. They want understanding of what they are to do with their life for Him. And that excites me. And I sometimes will tell them, God wants you to perfect. I said that to one man. He said, oh, no. No. You can't do that. Well, then why did Jesus say this? Verse 48. Is it read in your Bible? If you've got red writing, is it read? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now let's read it one more time to make sure I didn't misread it. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Does God want us to be perfect? If it was an impossibility, would He have said that? You see, if you really look at your life and you really evaluate it, you will see that there are only one or two Goliaths bugging you. And when you can finally take your sling and sling something into its mind and kill it and cut its head off, you can easily move into this realm that I'm speaking about. But we, like Israel, all of our life, 40 years in the wilderness, we go around the same mountain over and over, over and over, over and over. I do it, do you? Why? Because I won't kill that thing. I know what it is. You know what it is. And it keeps us right here. But is the veil rent? Then we have access, don't we?
Amen.
And all we got to do is kill Goliath. Be ye therefore, help me, perfect. All right. So you see what I'm trying to say. Basic Christianity, thank God for it. We were all there. Pentecost Christianity, thank God for it. But there's more. Be ye therefore perfect. Now, Ephesians 4, have you still got your finger there? Ephesians 4. I'm talking end time stuff to you. I'm talking winding this thing up. Verse 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the what?
Perfecting
of the saints. Be you therefore perfect. How? By the fivefold ministry. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Working out in your life, showing you in your life Goliaths and how to kill them. So that you can move on in the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, amen.
For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Now that is simply reading that the saints are perfected to work the ministry. Now I'm a saint also, and I have the work of the ministry to do, but I am to raise you up and perfect you to a point that you can carry on the ministry. So that we can all move on in the Lord. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till, a time word. Till, until. Do you see time until? Time. Takes time. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what?
Perfect man.
Are we there? We're right here. We're at the veil. It's rent. The price has been paid. But we're not willing to pay the price. For the perfect, unto a perfect man, unto the measure. Now this is what a perfect man is. Now get this. A perfect man unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's big order, isn't it? Does God want you perfect? Now let me tell you a little bit about what this word perfect means. I'm really being longer here than I wanted to be. In its basic form, it means mature. Maturity. To be matured in the Lord. And I'm going to show you as we progress today, as I look at some of these 16 examples that I've got here on the board for you. As we look at some of those, I'm going to show you how every one of those are three stagers. Let's start them. I've already gone over the first one with you. It says, leads to the brazen altar and the forgiveness of sin at the cross and water baptism. Then the second place is leads to the sanctuary, various priestly ministries. In other words, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then there's the holy place, and it leads to the fullness of God's presence, to the throne. Back there was the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth, and on top of it was a mercy seat, His throne. He sits on the throne of mercy. God lives, if you can hear it this way, in a three-room house, outer court, holy place, holy of holies. And in that last room is a living room, and that last room is a loving room, and there's only one piece of furniture there, and it's a love seat. And He wants you to get back there and sit on it with Him. Be you therefore perfect, matured, even as your Father. Number two. Now, out here in the natural aspects, it was for all of the Israel, or out here, it's for all the church. You must be born again. You understand that, don't you? In here, only ones who could come in here were the priests. Do you know your history of Israel? The only ones who could come in here was the priest. And only ones who could come back here were the high priest. All of Israel, or all the church, you must be born again. In here, the king, or the priest could come. And then back here, the high priest could come. It speaks of Christianity maturity. You're born again. You're a saint. You move into that holy place. You become more mature, a young man. Then you get into the Holy of Holies. You become a father. Is it making sense to you?
Yeah.
New birth, outer court, number three. Holy Ghost baptism, maturity. Ephesians 4:13, the perfect man. Number four. Born of the Spirit, earnest of the Spirit, fullness of the Spirit. Let me go over that just a second. I told you this morning, we followed the footsteps of Jesus, and that holy thing came upon Mary. And conceived in her was the baby Christ, that holy thing. And she gave birth to it. Then what happened to you when that Holy Ghost came upon your life and overshadowed you? You see, there was a holy thing conceived in you, Mary, and you're giving birth to it. Can you hear that? You're giving birth to something. You're reproducing yourself. You're giving birth. Born of the Spirit. Earnest of the Spirit. We think, we're taught sometimes, that when we got into here, that we've got all the Holy Ghost baptism, and that's it. We've got all there is. But you get that power when? After that. You got it. Hallelujah. After that, you see. After what? After going all the way through here. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And Ephesians, where is it at? Anyway, the earnest of the Spirit is told us that we think we're getting it all when we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says that it's the first fruits of the Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 or 14 right there says it's the earnest of our inheritance. It's the first thing. It's a down payment on us. You buy a house, you pay some earnest money. You don't pay for the whole house right then. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not all of it. There's more. There's a fullness that comes. I'll get it in just a minute. But Jesus was a babe. Then He was an adolescent. Then He was a man. When He came out of the wilderness, He was a man. Then He could minister. That's on down the line. I just wanted to throw it in right there. Number five, born into heirship. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1 right in there says that we are children, but heirs. But as long as we're children, we're nothing more than a servant. Though we be Lord of all, Does that make sense to you? You're a child, but until you get matured, it don't mean nothing. You ain't got anything. Even though you're Lord of all. You're born into heirship. Number five, you receive the earnest of that inheritance. But in the holy place, it becomes the fullness. You become man, a perfect man. Now, here is a place that we really mess up. Salvation. Salvation is all inclusive. It is spirit, soul, body. All inclusive. Doesn't leave a part of you out. But there are three kinds of salvation. Did you know that? Turn to the book of Jude. Next to the last book in your Bible. Right next to Revelations. Everybody knows where Revelations is. Book of Jude, verse 3. The earthly brother of Jesus writes, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Do you see that? What kind of salvation? Common. Well, which kind of salvation is there the most of? Common. Out of court. Nothing wrong with that. We all go through common salvation. But it's common. Everybody has it. Common salvation. Now go to Hebrews chapter 1. No, chapter 2. Verse 3. This will be a good Bible study. You'll have to be looking up a lot of scriptures. It'll be good for you to do that. Learn your Bible a little better. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Who will admit with me when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it was great. It was great salvation. It was better than the common salvation. But there's more. Neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by us, by them that heard him. And this is how it works in the new church, in the first church, in the book of Acts. You read it right here. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Where do you get that? You get that with the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? You can't get it in common salvation. That's Holy Ghost salvation. That's great salvation. That's holy place salvation. Chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5. Okay. Verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, speaking of Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see, there are some common churches that preach common salvation. There are some great churches that preach great salvation. Do you want a church that is eternal, that will preach eternal salvation? Amen. That's what I'm telling you tonight. Now look at that verse and see the most important part of verse 9. Being made perfect. You are being made perfect. And the Bible says that as many received him, to he gave them power to become something. What? The sons of God, not the children of God, the matured ones, the weos of God, the matured people of God. You're becoming something. You're moving from outer court to holy place to holy of holies. We're going in the Lord. We're growing. And you can have a common church. Or you can have a great church. Well, most of them at least stop. I want an eternal church that preaches eternal salvation. Do you want that?
Yes.
Do you see the maturity levels that I'm trying to project to you? It's all the way through this thing. What's the next one that I've got up there? Number 7, Feast of the Passover, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. God told His people 3 times a year, I want you to meet together. Feast of Passover. Who was our Passover? Jesus. He was the Lamb that was slain. John the Baptist said that very thing. Behold, the Lamb of God. And John wrote in the book of Revelation, the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. And Paul wrote, Jesus, who became our Passover. So you see, there is a Passover sacrifice that we go through. And then there was a day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost blew into your upper room. And you spoke with something you've never spoke with before. There's a Pentecost in our life. But yet, tradition takes that Feast of Trumpets, cuts it slap away from the body of Christ, and throws it overseas to Israel. And says, that's got nothing to do with the church, that's for Israel. That's not what I see in the Bible. We are going into the Feast of Trumpets, and right now, you're hearing one. I want to blow a trumpet. I want you to hear a clear sound that comes forth to you from the Word of God that does what those trumpets did in the book of Revelations. Destroys things that are not of God in your life. Bring on Armageddon in you. Pull down those kingdoms in you that shouldn't be there. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen. Glory.
3 feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and trumpets. All of these are tremendous teaching things. And I could spend at least one sermon on each one of them. Jesus the babe, number 8. Jesus the babe. Jesus the adolescent. And Jesus the man. Luke 2:7. We looked at that this morning. Jesus was the babe. Common salvation. You see, outer court. Jesus the babe. And then you go on with him. In Luke 2:40, Jesus the adolescent. He's in the temple. He's in there talking to the great minds of the day, the great teachers of the day. And it says there that he asked them some questions. And what I'm saying about that is there are a lot of great minds today, supposedly, in Christianity, that I would really love to ask some questions. I would like for them to explain some things that just aren't fitting together to me. And I believe that's what Jesus done with those guys, is he asked them the questions, and they were astonished, the Bible said, at his understanding. I believe I could astonish some traditional great minds. Do you see what I'm saying? Then there was Jesus the man. When he came back from the wilderness, he was the man. And then he said, the Spirit hath anointed me. And he went forth, and he began to heal. And he began to raise up. He began to do the work of only Jesus. Jesus the man. So you can be in Jesus and be a babe. Do you see that? Or you can be in Jesus and be an adolescent. I'm tired of being a babe in Christ. I'm tired of being an adolescent in Christ. I want to become a man. I want to do what He did. I want to walk the way He walked. I want to talk the way He talked. I want to do the things He did. Number 9. 30-fold Christianity. Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at that one. Matthew 13. This will help you. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells one of the greatest parables. In fact, He says that if you don't understand this parable, you'll never understand any of them. How will you ever understand the kingdom of God unless you understand this parable? And it's the one about the sower goes forth to sow the seed. And it really should be entitled not the sower and the seed, but it really should be entitled the sower and the ground. The seed is the word. It's the same. It never changes. The sower goes forth and he sows seed. And you know the story. You know how it goes. He throws it by the wayside and the fowls of the air come and get it. And that's, of course, the devil, the serpent. He comes and gets the seed. Then it falls on stony ground and it quickly grows up. But when tribulations come, it burns up. Then it falls in thorny soil and the cares of the world, which are the vines and the thorns, overgrow it. He's talking about Christians here. Talking about people who hear the word of God and how they respond to it. They let the cares of the world overshadow it, kill it. You see. They let tribulations and hard times come and just burn them up. I'm preparing you for some of those things, you see. But then he says that there's good soil. Good soil. Good soil. Verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. How many levels do you bring forth?
Three.
Hundredfold, 60-fold, 30. When over there in Exodus 25 on through the end of the book, God is either giving Moses the instructions to construct this tabernacle, or either Moses is constructing it, one or the other. And the way God tells him to build this thing is from here out. He tells him first how to construct these parts, and he works his way out. And I never understood that. Because, you see, the way we look at it is from outside in. He looks at it from inside out. That's his perspective. You see, he sets back here. And he sees things hundredfold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. All the way to the outer realms of darkness. How does he give you this? 30, 60, 100, or 100, 60, 30? 100, 60, 30. You're seeing it from his dimensions. He wants 100. Most of us have given him 60. But he'll even settle for 30. But he wants his word to bring forth some fruit. But you've got 30-fold Christians, babes, outer court. You've got 60-fold Christians, and we're going to have some 100-fold Christians in this passage of Scripture. If you will look at this 30-fold as 70% flesh and 30% Christian, you'll have it. If you look at this group of people as 60% Christian and 40% flesh, you'll be close on target. Now, I'm talking about it at its extremities. I'm talking about people who have got to this point. That's 60. Back to here is only 31. You see what I'm saying? 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. You see? Okay, let's go back here. From here, from this corner to here, is 100-fold. You see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay. You're growing in the Lord. You grow up to here. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You grow up to here. 60 percenters. But I want to be a 100 percenter. 30-fold, 30%. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you should at least be twice the outer court. But it's sad, but a lot of times I see more people out here working harder and getting more done than some of these in here. And I won't get into that. I'm just presenting you principles. But I want to be 100-fold. I want to go on in the Lord. I'm seeing and I'm telling you, there's more. There's more. Moving into perfection. That's my next one. Number 10, little children, young men, and fathers. Let's look at that one. 1 John Back to the back of your Bible again. 1 John. Third, fourth book, fifth book from the back. 1 John. Page 312. 1 John chapter 2. You'll see three levels. John says here in verse 12, chapter 2, 1 John 2 and 12, I write unto you who? Little children. Because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Do you see outer court there? Do you see Christ the Passover? Do you see water baptism? Your sins are forgiven you. Do you see that? Now, in verse 13, he's going to get the fathers and the young men, so I'll read on down now. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. But how many peoples are there?
Three.
Children, young men, and fathers. Young men, he writes to them, he says, because their sins have been forgiven them. They have come in. They have been forgiven. They've accepted the Passover lamb. They've applied the blood to their life and to their house. Then he says to the young men, he writes to them because they're strong. Adolescents, you see. Young men, strong in the Lord. Pentecost. Who fights the devil? My goodness, we used to fight the devil every service. We'd get up here and rebuke the devil. Go get him, devil. You know, we just go after him. Pentecost does that. Right?
Yes. Amen.
They're strong in that thing because they have overcome. Now look what that says. You need to get this. Pentecost, it says, that doesn't say will overcome. What does it say? You have overcome. You need to remember that. You have overcome. Don't walk around talking about how He's defeating you. If you're in that middle realm, you have overcome. You're a young man. You're strong in the Lord. Because of the Word, if you read that and study it out. The Word's made you strong. I know a lot of Pentecostals that never opened this thing. If you want to be strong, get in the Word. But then he says the third realm, who? Fathers. Because they have known Him. Judy got a wonderful revelation from the Lord concerning this verse of Scripture, and I haven't got time to share it with you now. But it was simply something like this. Out here, you're a child. Simply a child. And it's Daddy give me. Totally dependent upon Him for everything. You go into this realm. You mature more. You're not as dependent upon Daddy, but you still like His gifts. Pentecostals like gifts, don't they? Mm-hmm. Are y'all awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? They love the gifts. But then when you mature and you've been dependent on Daddy for all this time, you want Daddy to give you your allowance and Daddy to do this and Daddy to do that for you. And you get up in this realm, you still like His gifts. But when you get here, it's no longer what Daddy can do for you, but what you can do for Daddy. You heard that, didn't you? Baby Christians, heal me, Jesus. Bless me, Jesus. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Pentecostals, about that same line. But at least they get into some gifts. But when you come on into that perfection area that I'm trying to project to you tonight, it's no longer give me. It's what can I give you, Daddy? Let me bless you, Daddy. Let me praise you, Daddy. Let me become it praise to you, Daddy. Let me get on that love seat with you. Let me just love you, Lord. I don't want nothing if you don't never bless me again, if you don't never let me give me another revelation of the Word again, if you don't never give me nothing. I want to love you. And you see, you've said that, you that are mature, about your own dad. I just want to love you now, Daddy.
That's good.
Amen.
Number 11, good will of God, acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. I'm not going to turn to that one. That you should be familiar with that scripture. There are three wills of God. Probably everybody in here has had that preached to you. The good will of God, the acceptable will of God, the perfect will of God. You can be in the good will of God. You can be in the acceptable will of God. But do you know what I'm trying to tell you tonight? Is you can be in the perfect will of God. We at the First Assembly of God in Lafayette can enter into the perfect will of God. Now we can be in the good, or we can remain in the acceptable, but I want to be in the perfect.
Yes, amen.
You're hearing this. I know you are.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Where am I at? Number 12, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Out here, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You been there?
Yes.
In here. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. But when you get back in there, to that Holy of Holies, you fulfill what Abraham did with Isaac. You go to the mountain to worship God. And what was he going to the mountain to do? Talk to me.
Sacrifice
the thing he loved the most. Now, Abraham, Isaac, whom thou lovest, take him to Moriah and offer him unto me as a sacrifice. And Abraham says there in verse 5 of that chapter in Genesis, he said, me and the boy go to the mountain to worship. When you really worship God, you enter into a realm of sacrificing the things you love the most. Now, we have a misconception of what worship is, you see. But worship is simply this, putting down your way and your will for His way and His will, no matter what it is. Even the thing you love the most. That's what pure worship is. Number 13, divine healing, divine health, divine life. Divine healing, divine health, divine life. You can be healed, or you can walk in healing, or you can walk in life. You see. Number 14, I just told you this one a while ago. You've got natural light, which is the sun. Natural light, which is the sun. Then you've got the oil and lamp light, which is the Holy Ghost light. Then you've got the divine light, Shekinah glory light. Out here, let me just say this. Scriptures revealed out here have a natural light to them. People teaching from the scriptures that are in this realm, it's just a natural light. There's nothing glorious about them. There's nothing new and fresh to you about them. It's just natural light. Common. 30-fold. In here, there is a Holy Ghost light. There is more revelation expounded, you see. Holy Ghost illuminating that thing. But when you start coming back here, you know when you hear that scripture expounded, that's what that means. You see, there is a real light put on it. There is a Shekinah glory light that hits that thing and expounds it into you, and you know that's what that means. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I don't care how you go about it, you're seeing those three realms. Natural light, oil light, divine light. How about Ezekiel's river? And I'll hit these real quick. Ezekiel's river. How many depths did he take him?
Three.
Ankles? Knees? Get out there and swim. Ankles, 30-fold, outer court, common salvation. Knees, great salvation, 60-fold, or right back there. You can get out there and swim in it. A river that cannot be crossed. You can swim in that river. There was three levels in Ezekiel's temple. There was three levels in Solomon's temple. Everything I'm showing you that comes in threes is speaking to you about and concerning your maturity. And what you should be doing right now is defining your point, where you're at right now in your spiritual growth. You should be able to just about pinpoint it by now. How many times was King David anointed? Three. First, he was anointed as a boy. Right? Samuel anointed him. Then he was anointed king over Judah. Then he was anointed king over all of Israel. You see that? All right, there's water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, and then what I have been talking about, the mind of Christ. Water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, I want the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I've covered that pretty good. There's a couple of things that I've got here, but I'll just leave them alone because I think you've got it. But when you hit these things in your Word, in your Scriptures, look at them, and those realms, three, denotes your growth. Let me hit you with this one. Body, soul, spirit. You see that? But if I turn it around, I'm still okay. Spirit, because I'm saved, my spirit is rebirthed first. In the soul, you see, and my mind is being renewed. Body. My salvation is complete. Spirit, soul, body. You can look at this in the patriarchs. You can see it in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's just all sorts of different ways, and I've just opened this to you because it's so necessary that you see it. You need to understand that we are not in the fullness of the Spirit yet. And people want to be here, don't you?
Yes.
Sure you do. Well, what's keeping you from coming back here? In the book of Nehemiah, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And the walls denotes your mind. They tore down all of the old rubble. They destroyed all the old structures and got down to the very foundations and rebuilt it. I'll be tearing down in your temple, in your Ezra, and in your walls, your Nehemiahs. I'll be tearing them down. Because I want to get down to the foundations of the apostles and the prophets and build. But the Lord has instructed me how to do it. Don't come in here with a bulldozer. But take those walls down board by board. Take them down line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And then build them back the same way. Line upon line upon line. Precept upon precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. How many have already felt the tugging at your walls? Man, they're shaking. Let me give you scriptures on that. God hates walls. He hates walls. And He has broken down the middle wall of partition. Hasn't He? Do you know that this is the veil? This is what's keeping you from going back there? But what I'm trying to show you tonight is the veil's rent.
Amen.
He's broken it down. He's broken down that middle wall of partition. And the psalmist David says, I will run through a troop and I will leap over the wall.
Yes.
In the book of Daniel, the prophet's hand come upon the wall and wrote on it. Right?
Yes.
In the book of Ezekiel, the Spirit told Ezekiel to dig through it. But what did they do in Joshua? They shouted it down. And what did they blow? Trumpets. I'm blowing a trumpet. The walls are shaking. They're coming down. And we're going to possess Jericho.
Amen.
Amen.